Let's turn our Bibles now to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, and we look at one of the most critical, crucial truths we'll find anywhere in the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to read the first 20 verses for us. So 1 Corinthians 15. And the first 20 verses. So starting in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I laboured more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there be no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept." Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and bless you for the word of God, and we just ask, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, we thank you that we've been having the privilege to come and share this time. And Father, I pray that, again, you would quicken us. And Lord, we would rejoice in the truths that we find in your word this morning. Lord, truly we serve a great God. We have a great God who loves us, who's demonstrated his love for us on the cross, who's shown that he was pleased and accepted the sacrifice by the empty tomb. And Father, this day we're thankful that our Saviour, the Lord Jesus, is seated at the right hand of the Father and ever lives to make intercession for us. Father, what a blessing to know that even this morning, our Lord Jesus is praying for us. Father, I thank you, I praise you, and once again ask you to bless our time now. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we all know what this weekend's called, Easter. And do we celebrate Easter? We had a good time in the prison on Friday night, and the biggest number of men who've ever turned out, so it was an interesting night. And we obviously touched on this subject, and they asked whether we spoke about whether we celebrate Easter, and I said, no, we don't celebrate Easter. There's no such thing in the scriptures. But we did use that as an opportunity, though, to bring the gospel out. And so before we finished up going to Romans 13, we were up to Romans 13 in our studies, and we finished that chapter eventually. But what we did, I said, all right, now, here we go. Before we get into Romans chapter 13, can any of you men tell me the passages in the Old Testament would speak about Christ's death and his resurrection? And so a couple of them made some suggestions. One was Isaiah 53, which is the great gospel chapter in the Old Testament. And so we had a look at that. We looked at other aspects of the gospel, particularly about Christ's death. And it was a good time. There was a lot of new faces there. And so the ideal opportunity to preach the gospel and speak about those truths. But do we celebrate Easter? No. People say, what about Easter bunny and Easter eggs? No. I'll read something a little bit about a background to that. Easter was a festival of pagan origin dating way back for more than 1500 years before the Christian era began. It was a celebration to honour the arrival of spring and with it the growth of new life. Thus, Easter is not a Christian name. Ishtar, Astarte and Ashtaroth are all names for the fertility goddess or the Queen of Heaven. It's from these names that our modern day Easter is derived. It thus has a Babylonian origin. Even today, Easter is still linked to the beginning of spring since, quote from the Encyclopedia Britannica, Easter Sunday is always celebrated on the first Sunday after the full moon following the vernal or spring equinox, and that's related, of course, to the Northern Hemisphere because they got their spring up here. We're coming into our autumn and winter. Now, many pagan elements were associated with the ancient festival of Easter. Fertility was the keynote. Many lewd rites were practiced. Eggs were an integral part of the worship. They were coloured, dyed, decorated and consecrated as one of the symbols of Easter, sacred cakes, etc. We could go on along. We don't want to waste our time on that. But just to say, again, because people ask me, you know, do you celebrate Easter? My answer is no. But Easter is not just the only time to remember the death, burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Every Sunday we are acknowledging the resurrection, because it was the first day of the week when the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. So we do it once a week at least, amen. There is no verse that says you must remember that day in that sense. Now, having said that, when we have the Lord's Supper, that's another opportunity to remind us of the Lord's resurrection. We do show forth his death till he comes. That means we acknowledge his resurrection. Baptism is another opportunity to show forth the Lord's resurrection. We are buried with him and then raised to walk in newness of life. Speaks of our Lord Jesus' death, burial and resurrection. So there are biblical reasons to acknowledge and celebrate the death, burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, but not what we see around us today. That's not part of that. So do we rejoice in the gospel? Yes, we do. And today, in particular, we want to rejoice in the resurrection. Amen. You have a look in these verses again. Verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, that also you have received and wherein you stand. It's the gospel which is the good news, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. And then he goes and says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And again, as we were talking this morning to the children in the Sunday school, and just we looked at the next verse, but the same principle here where he says, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And remember, this is not New Testament scriptures that Paul's referring to. He's referring to the Old Testament. Amen. We sometimes forget that. You know, we talk about Christ's death, burial, resurrection in the scriptures. Amen. And it's in the New Testament. Amen. But all of it was prophesied previously in the Old Testament. As I shared with the men, you can go to Isaiah 53, that's true, and you can go to Isaiah 52 where his visage was marred more than that of any man. You can go to 50 where they plucked the hair from his cheeks, and you can do all that, and then you go back to Psalm 22 and you find that he cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And you get down into that psalm there and you find that it says he pierced his hands and his feet, and you know that was nothing known of in David's day. It was speaking about the way that Christ would die on the cross. And you can go back to Genesis 3:15 and you find the seed of the woman is going to bruise the head of the serpent. Amen. The gospel has been around right back since that day. After Adam's sin, God turned up and said, I got some good news for you. There's a way back. There is a way back. It's through the seed of the woman. And they don't, you know, the Old Testament scriptures don't fill out all the details. But we know, for example, in Galatians that Abraham, the Bible says God preached the gospel unto Abraham. And what's the gospel? Well, according to Paul, it's Christ's death, burial and resurrection. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. What are you talking about, Abraham? You're not even 50 years old yet. And you say, Abraham, yeah, Abraham saw my day. Yeah, God had preached the gospel to him back in those days. He believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. I mean, you know, the scriptures are very, very clear about the gospel. And again, I just say that to remind us that this is Paul's relating to the Old Testament. And you remember what the Lord Jesus said when he appeared to the disciples later on after the resurrection. He said, beginning in Moses and in the law and in the prophets, he spoke unto them all those things concerning himself that would be fulfilled. And I would have loved to have been there. Amen. You know, we look at, there's probably a lot of verses that we don't even see clearly enough to see. This is the gospel. Maybe just the types or the shadows or whatever. You know, I could imagine that the Lord Jesus may have stopped at a while and talked about Noah's Ark. And when he was talking about the Old Testament and the law of Moses and he might have just made reference, for example, to the fact that there was just one doorway into the ark. Just one. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and have pasture. He may just have also said that when God called them into the ark, God works in our hearts and lives, calling us to come to Christ. And then when they went into the ark, guess what? It was God who sealed the ark. It was God who closed it off. We don't save ourselves. God provides the means of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, but God does the saving. And so in the Old Testament scriptures, and I'm sure if we spent some time, you know, we could look at the, you know, the Day of Atonement, and we could look at, you know, Isaac and how the ram there was the substitute for Isaac, and you know, the beloved son didn't have to die, whereas the Lord Jesus, the only begotten son, he had to die. He was the Lamb of God. There was no substitute for him. And so Paul says he preached unto them the gospel whereby they were saved. They believed what Paul had preached. And notice that he then goes on to, just in the sense of the resurrection, to give encouragement, and that he was seen, verse 5, of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained under this present, but some have fallen asleep. I read somewhere one time where, you know, people who try and deny the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and there's plenty do that today. There's false teachers everywhere out there. But one of the theories I read was that those 500 brethren actually hallucinated. And they didn't actually see the Lord Jesus, literally. They were just having a hallucination. So that's amazing. Imagine that. 500 people all at the one time having the same hallucination and seeing Jesus and talking with him. It's amazing. It's more amazing than what the Bible teaches. But after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. Paul said, listen, this truth of the resurrection which was prophesied in the Old Testament, said it's been fulfilled. The witnesses are there. We've seen him. We've spoken with him. We've eaten with him. We've done all that. Notice what Paul says, for I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. Paul never did forget his past, did he, in that sense? And you and I know what it's like. If you get saved as an adult, there'll be some past things. You won't forget them. But they ought not to keep us in the past. Amen. We ought to be like the Apostle Paul, who said to the Philippians, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Yes, I was a wicked sinner, and yes, I did this and did that, but I wasn't worthy, but by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace which bestowed upon me was not in vain. Notice what this caused Paul to do, but I laboured more abundant than they all. When Paul got saved, he realised what God had saved him from and why he'd saved him and everything else. He got busy about it, amen. He said, let me at him. I've got to get out there. And immediately he's out there proving that Christ, that Jesus was the Christ out of the scriptures. And everywhere he went, he's labouring, so I laboured more abundant than they all. You say he's bragging, yet not I. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. You and I can't do it. You can get out there and jump up, down, sing hallelujah, do what you like, but if God's not in it, it's not going to work. You say, what's it? It's the balance, isn't it? We have to be serious about living for the Lord. If we really believe the gospel that Christ died for our sins and was buried and raised again the third day, then we ought to be serious about living for the Lord. That's what Paul said. He said, I'm out there. I'm doing it. And they thought he was a nutcase. I mean, he wasn't the most popular fella on the block. But it didn't stop him, did it? Why? Because he remembered what he'd been saved from. He remembered. Boy, if I think back, I don't like to think back. Sometimes I do. And I don't tell anybody about that. Between me and the Lord. But it's a reminder. I remember as a young Christian, I said, Lord, I don't want to waste any more years. Lord, I want to get out and try and do something. You say you're bragging. I'm not bragging at all. Probably could have done 10 times what I've done so far. I am what I am by the grace of God. And by God's grace, I will keep labouring for the Lord. When I think of what he saved me from, when I think where I could be today, I would say probably in hell today if I hadn't gotten saved. Most likely. Well, Paul said, you know, not meet to be called an apostle because I persecute the church of God. So I'm not worthy, but I am what I am by the grace of God. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach and so you believe. And he goes on now about the resurrection and defends the resurrection. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Now, we think it's strange. You know, people say we don't believe in it. They didn't believe it in Paul's day. They didn't believe it. What's this resurrection from the dead? We don't believe that. You think about it, Thomas didn't even believe it. The disciples had seen, we were talking about in the Sunday school, the disciples had seen the Lord Jesus. Thomas wasn't there that night. They said, Thomas, we've seen the Lord. He said, I won't believe it. Unless I can put my fingers in the nail prints and my hand in his side, I will not believe. People like that all around us, isn't it? Yeah, how many times? If I could just see. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. Thomas, you know, blessed are you because you've seen and believe. Thomas, let me tell you, blessed are they which have not seen and yet believe. Oh, what a blessing it is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and know that your sins are forgiven, that you have eternal life. So he says, there's people teaching no resurrection from the dead. Okay, so let's have a look at this. Let's have a look at this situation. If there's no resurrection from the dead, verse 13, if there's no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? So that's pretty simple. If there's no resurrection, then the Christ didn't rise from the dead. Didn't happen. Just the only way it can be. So you say, what about the empty tomb? We've got to explain that away now. What about those who said they went down there? What about those who said they saw the Lord Jesus? What about the 500 witnesses? What do we do with those if there's no resurrection from the dead? Paul said, come on, think about it. But if there is no resurrection from the dead, then Christ certainly isn't risen. See what he's saying here? He says in verse 14, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. Imagine you get up here and preach, Jesus rose from the dead, amen, amen. How foolish is that if he be not risen from the dead? What empty, vain rubbish. It's just foolishness, isn't it, to think that. Why would it be that for the last 2,000 years, men and ladies have been sharing the gospel about Christ's death, burial and resurrection, if he be not risen from the dead? It doesn't make any sense. Think about it. It's not logical. If Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain. Well, I've got to acknowledge, if he's not risen, then it is vain and empty. I agree with that. And not only that, he says, by the way, you don't believe in the resurrection. You say you have faith. Well, let me tell you, your faith is also vain. If there's no resurrection from the dead, then your faith is vain. It's empty. It's meaningless. You're in a hopeless situation because you've been believing in a dead man. He's no different then to all the other religious leaders. They're all dead. I was talking to a man one day. He got quite cranky, but you know, I said, tell me this. Which other religious leader, whether it be Muhammad or whoever you want to name, died and then rose from the dead? Which one? He got mad and walked out. Because it's quite clear, isn't it? Christ rose from the dead. Physically, bodily, from the dead. So our faith is not vain. Our faith is not empty. Our faith is not meaningless. We do have salvation in and through the Lord Jesus. Your faith is also vain. Yeah, well, that's true if there's no resurrection. And not only that, he says, notice in verse 15, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Paul said, you know, if there's no resurrection, then we're all liars. We have said that God raised him from the dead. We have said that God showed us and told us, and yet if there be no resurrection, then we're all liars. We're false witnesses. You say there's no resurrection. Well, if there is no resurrection, then all these witnesses, these 500, they've all lied. The disciples, they've all lied. Mary lied. It was the gardener, it wasn't Jesus. Or whatever, the list goes on and on, doesn't it? Paul said, we've found false witnesses of God. We said God told us. If he didn't, if there's no resurrection, amazing. You know what? It also makes the Lord Jesus a liar. Numbers of times he told his followers and those who are around him, I will be raised from the dead. See, you want a sign? There'll be no sign given you but the sign of the son of Jonas. And as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be in the centre of the earth. And then what? He'll be raised from the dead. I am going to be raised from the dead. Now what a liar if he wasn't. What a deceiver if that wasn't the truth. It's amazing, isn't it? How people try and twist and dodge and weave to justify their lies. It's the other way around. And not only that, he said, if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised, as we've said. Verse 17, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Your faith is empty. It's been a waste of time. Here you are singing about the Lord Jesus and how wonderful it's going to be one day to see him and everything else. Sorry, folks, it's all vain and empty rubbish. There was no resurrection. Well, that's the facts if there was no resurrection. Listen, you people who say, how say somebody there's no resurrection of the dead, let me tell you, your faith is vain, empty. Not only that, you are yet in your sins. You might be trusting in the death of Christ, but if you're not believing in your heart the physical bodily resurrection, you're not saved. Well, I believe Jesus died on the cross. Amen. What else? What else do you need to believe? to be saved, you also need to believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. Amen. Just believing in the death of Christ and his blood shed, that's not sufficient for salvation. That's only part of the gospel, as we read in those earlier verses. And so he says to those folk, you don't believe in the resurrection, you're still in your sins. And one day you will die and you will go to a devil's hell because you're still in your sins. There's no saviour except Christ be risen from the dead. And if you believe that in your heart, then there is salvation, then there's eternal life. There is the wage of sin still. Notice also in verse 18, then they also which have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. And by the way, let me tell you something. You folk who believe that when you're absent from the body, you're present with the Lord, sorry. There's no resurrection. And so all those that have died, they've perished. There's no hope for them. Well, that's true if there's no resurrection. That's the facts of the matter. It's just another religion. It doesn't matter if it's the Muslim religion, the Buddhist religion, the Hindu religion. They're all empty and vain and everything else that goes with that. And when they die, all they do is face God at the judgment seat in Revelation 20. Give account for their works and then cast into hell, which is the second death. That's all that's going to happen to religious people. So he says, listen, think about it. Then they also which have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. They're gone. You don't have any hope. You know what it's like when you go to a funeral, don't you, of an unsaved person? What a hopeless situation that is. And they tell more lies at a funeral than you can find anywhere else, I reckon. They try and say, what a wonderful person. Everybody loved him. Oh, he was such a nice man. And everybody else is going, yeah. But when you ask, oh, he's a mongrel. Oh, he was this, he was that. Oh, ask his family. He was a shocker. But at the funeral, oh, he was such a wonderful fellow. Wonderful. And where is he? He's in heaven, not suffering anymore. Isn't it wonderful? And I've seen religious, it gets me angry thinking about it, men taking funerals, supposedly Christian ministers, and getting unsaved people into heaven. It's just ridiculous. It's not right. It's wrong. Unless you trust Christ as your saviour, there is no hope of heaven. There is no, unless you believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, that he was raised physically and bodily, there is no heaven. It's just foolishness. We had a situation there where we went to a funeral and I said, when the other person dies, I'm not going to that one. I'm not putting up with that rubbish again. Once was enough. It was just foolishness. It was tragic. And all the people sitting there, yeah, isn't that wonderful? It's not wonderful at all when you go to hell. But without the resurrection, that's where you go. There is no other hope. And notice what he says there in verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Why? Because we believed a lie. Imagine you go, yeah, I'm just looking forward to being with the Lord. I just can't wait to get to heaven. Then you die and you find, oh, there was no resurrection. What a hopeless life, a pathetic, miserable life we've lived, if that's the case. We thought we were going to have our sins forgiven. No sins forgiven. And we thought one day we'd have a new body and we'd see him, be like him. No, none of that. That won't happen if there's no resurrection. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we have all men most miserable. It's not only in this life we have hope in Christ. It's for all eternity. I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. How wonderful is that? Why? Because he died on the cross for our sins. He was buried and he was raised. He was shown to be the Son of God through the Spirit of glory. Because God raised him from the dead. Oh my. The resurrection. We ought to get excited about that. Oh my. We ought to get very excited about the resurrection. How tragic to go through life with this hope in Christ and then find that no, there was no resurrection, it was all a lie. See, we're all men most miserable. But notice the next verse. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Paul said, don't worry about it. He was raised from the dead, all right? He's the first fruits of them that slept. It's interesting to, if you take some time to have a look in the book of Leviticus about some of the feasts and the first fruits. And there was a harvest time, and as they did, they took the harvest. The thing they did, they took the first fruits of the harvest, and they did some offerings. And those offerings were made to God, obviously. It was on the first day of the week. Interesting. First fruits, first day of the week. Acknowledging the harvest that was soon to come. Now we go back out and harvest the rest of the crop. The Lord Jesus was raised from the dead. He's the first fruits of a great harvest of souls who trust him as their Lord and Saviour. But now is Christ risen from the dead? If we can't get excited about that, then there's a couple of problems. One, we're not saved, or B, we're badly backslidden. We ought to be excited about the resurrection of Christ, amen? We have eternal life. We shall never perish. Do we deserve it? No. We're like Paul. We can say, it's not meet for me to be called an apostle. It's not meet for me to be called a Christian. But thank God, by his grace, I've been saved. Thank God, by his grace, I have eternal life. Thank God for the resurrection. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you and bless you again for this time this morning. And Lord, it is a glorious truth, the truth of the resurrection of our blessed Lord Jesus, our Saviour. We're thankful, Father, we're not talking fairy stories here this morning. Lord, these are truths that are timeless. Lord, these truths were anticipated at the start of creation. Lord, not just something that was dreamed up along the way, Lord. We know this was all according to the Scriptures. Lord, what a blessing that is, Lord, that we're not here with a vain hope and vain and empty faith and just keeping our fingers crossed, Lord. We're thankful for the wonderful gospel message of Christ's death, and then, Lord, the completion of the gospel of Christ's resurrection, physically, bodily, from the grave. Today, again, seated at the right hand of the Father. Oh, Lord, what a blessing. And one day we shall see him, and we'll see those nail-pierced hands that Thomas said, I won't believe until I see. But we're thankful, Lord, in that sense we are more blessed than him. We haven't seen physically, yet through the eye of faith we have seen Christ, and he saved us and forgiven our sins and given us eternal life. Father, how blessed and how amazing that is. And Father, I trust and pray that everyone here this morning is excited about this wonderful truth that through the Lord Jesus' death, burial and resurrection we have eternal life. May it stir our hearts, Lord, to be like Paul and say, I want to get out and labour to get that message out to others. And Father, maybe if there's anybody here this morning, you'd have to be honest and say, I'm not sure that I'm saved this morning. Father, I pray that you would speak to their hearts in these closing moments. Lord, that the Spirit of God would do that which the Lord Jesus said, convict and convince them that they're sinners, but that Christ died for their sins and was buried and was raised physically and bodily from the grave. You'd grant them that grace whereby they might believe on the Lord Jesus and be even saved this day. So, Father, again, we thank you, we praise you and bless you and rejoice in our Saviour, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's turn